sessions. I enjoyed it. It was a sweet presence of the Lord. And so again, I invite him to this pulpit to let God use him. Would you please honor Brother and Sister Jared Williams? Yeah, Jared Williams this morning. Bless you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise on Sunday morning. Could we do that? Hallelujah. Amen. God, we've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. Amen. Amen. So very thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that has already moved into this house in such a great way. Now, if we were at home, if I was at home this morning, in all honesty, we probably never would have got to the preaching. We would have moved in that vein. And as your pastor turned it to me, I felt the Holy Ghost speak into my spirit that I don't know how far I'm going to get in this message this morning. I may not get very far. But I do feel the need to push just maybe a little bit further with what we have experienced thus far and maybe propel us a step further than what we've experienced into a place with God. Anybody come with a need in your life on Sunday morning? You've come to the right place. Can I tell you, you've come to the right place. You can go to the hospital, you can get examined. They might give you something that could ease the pain, but probably once that medicine has gone out of your system, the pain's going to come back. You've come to the right place. You've come to the man who can heal you from the pain, who can bring you out of the issue, who can bring you out of your trouble. Amen. Very quickly, Numbers, the 27th chapter, begin reading with verse 12. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Causey. Thank you for the invitation, allowing us to be here. Give honor to all of this ministerial staff as well as Brother and Sister Lee. Thank them for the opportunity inviting us to be here. I pray that we have been a blessing to this church. And I pray that in these next two services that something will be established in this house that could, again, I say, propel you to another level. Before I walked to this pulpit, I felt the Lord impress on my spirit that the season of revival is not what he said wrapping up, but it is just beginning. Can I tell someone in the Holy Ghost today, your season of revival is not at an end. It's just at a beginning. And if you will step into that season with confidence and belief that he will pour out his spirit in your life and in your family and in your assembly, this body that we're gathered in today, the greatest things are in store. They're not behind us. They're right in front of us. Turn around and look at somebody, tell them, keep walking. Numbers, the 27th chapter, verse 12. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the Mount Abram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. You notice what he says. The Lord tells Moses to get thee up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. They haven't at this point even hardly stepped foot in the land yet, but it's already theirs by faith. They'll have to fight. They'll have to wrestle. But I want you to view what I have already proclaimed and already given to my people. Amen. Why don't you lay down your Bibles, extend your hands to heaven all across this house, and let's ask the Lord to have his perfect way. Could we? Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in serving you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in being able to freely enter this house today, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubting, bringing you praise, bringing you glory, bringing you honor today, for you alone are worthy. God, we thank you today for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have freely being able to lift up holy hands without wrath, without Jesus, today, you alone are worthy of all the praise. You alone are worthy of all the glory. We thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do in this house. In Jesus' precious name, come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around, look at somebody and tell them, pardon me if I help him preach for just a little while. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Can I begin this message today by telling you that we live in a microwave generation? We live in a generation where people want it right now. I don't want to wait too long. I want it right now. I find myself, so I eat a lot of frozen pizzas. It's not because my wife can't cook, but most of the time because we're in such a hurry. I find myself eating a lot of frozen pizzas at night, and when we eat these pizzas, it takes seemingly longer for the oven to get heated than it does to even cook the pizza. And I find myself very impatient, and I'll be walking through the house, and I'm getting hungry, ready to eat, and I'll ask her, I'll say, "Is it still not ready yet?" And she'll say, "Well, the oven is still preheating." We live in a generation where we don't like to wait too long. We like to have it right now. Now, some of this may not apply to you because you, in the condition that you live. Sister Causey said yesterday in the split session that y'all are 50 miles, I believe, from the nearest Walmart. That's a long way to Walmart. 25 from one, 50 the other. Okay, 50 miles round trip. That's still a long way. 25 miles to Walmart. I am about 12 and a half miles, and it seems like it's a long way. And they just put a Dollar General in about 5 miles from our house, and it has changed our shopping habits. We got more stuff in our cupboard now than we've ever had before. We are a generation that likes it right now. If you find yourself getting hungry, you can get in the car instead of waiting to prepare food. You can get in the car and you can go to the nearest Taco Bell or Burger King or McDonald's, and you can find yourself within just, a few short minutes, you can have food hot, may not be real good, but hot and in your hand very quickly. I've even found myself going through a drive-thru and being behind two cars and sitting there, not waiting probably a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes to order. And I'm sitting there with my wife and I'm fussing about why that these people won't go on. Why don't they hurry? I've only been waiting 2 minutes, but there's something inside of me that just don't want to wait. I want to step into my possessions right at this very moment. I don't really want to work too hard for it. I just kind of want to show up and it automatically already be there handed to me. I don't even like ordering through these little speakers that you have to talk to them in McDonald's and all these places. You tell them your order. They don't catch it most of the time anyway. It'd be a lot easier just to pull up to the window and tell them what you want. But I've even thought to myself, it'd be a lot easier if I could just drive up to the window and just look at that person sitting there or standing there and just grunt, you know what I want. It would cut down all of the conversation that I would have to incur. It would cut all of that out. All I'd have to do is handle my money, take my food, and go home. We are a generation that like it right now. We're becoming a generation, if we're not extremely careful, a generation of apostolics that don't want to work for it. But we want to come and sit on a pew and just grunt toward God. Amen. You know what I need. Give it, God. I wish it was that easy, and there are services that it's that easy. There are services you walk to the house of God, and you come, and you flop down on a pew, and it doesn't take long before the presence of God starts to sweep all over your heart, your mind, your spirit, and you simply throw up one hand, and the presence of God meets you there, and your miracle falls from heaven, and it touches your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. But let's be realistic, it ain't always like that. I wish I could tell you every time you walked into this house, it was going to be like that. One hand going up, and there'd just be a little bit of connection, and instantly you tap into it. But reality says it probably won't always be that way. Reality says it's probably not always going to be that easy. Can I tell this generation in 2015, some miracles are still worth fighting for. Some miracles are still worth working for. Some miracles are still worth claiming and possessing by faith. Amen. Amen. I'm very honored this morning to have my wife with me. Right after we first got married, she was out of Texas, went to Texas Bible College, Texas Bridal College, and found my wife there. And first time I saw her, I knew there's something different about her, and I knew first time I saw her, she's for me. And after a whole lot of sweet talking and begging and pleading and emptying the wallet, she decided to be mine after a few months of dating. And I remember after we first got married, I had worked during my session after my first year, between my first and second year of Bible college, I had the honor of working with a pastor, home missions pastor, and I worked as his youth pastor at that time. And while I was there, I learned a lot about ministry, first experience of ministry. I've been raised in the Apostolic Church. I had been raised with a call on my life. I did not accept it till I was 17 years old. And so I had just a few months before going to Bible college. So I learned a lot about ministry, but I learned a lot working with this home missions pastor. And I remember right after I had went back to school, me and my wife decided to get married. We got married after the completion of school. We went back and worked as the assistant pastor for the previous pastor that he worked for during the split set, during the first and the second year. And I remember we were living, me and my wife at that time, were living in a small RV, and it was just, you talk about small. We had everything that we owned packed in there. When you walked in, you couldn't even hardly walk in. There was boxes, and there was clothes, and everything was just piled up. There was not hardly anywhere to move. And I remember as we moved into that trailer, we were getting everything organized. I married a incredibly sweet darling of a woman, and I brought her out of Texas, had to deliver her as quickly as I could. We got, while we were working for this pastor, right after we first got married, she came to me and she said, "Baby, I want you to know something." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, I want you to know that whatever you need me to do, now I don't care what it is, if you need me to do anything, I want you to ask me. If you need me to do something, just ask me, and I'll do it. If you need clothes washed, baby, you come, you ask me, and I'll wash your clothes. Pretty good preaching, isn't it? All the men are saying, "Yes, sir." You need a shirt ironed, baby, you come, you tell me that you need a shirt ironed, and I'll stop what I'm doing, and I'll iron that shirt for you. It's getting better. She came a little later and she said, "I want you to know, if you need snacks fixed, if you need food, if you get hungry and you need food fixed for you, I will stop what I'm doing. I will go and I will make a meal for you and I'll let you sit down and eat and enjoy it. Anytime you get ready for it, you let me know." And I thought, well, my God, I have definitely married the best of the best. And after some time, I decided to try this out. We're really connecting this morning, aren't we? I had a shirt that I needed ironed. She don't do too many more of my shirts. I do them myself. I had a shirt that needed ironed. I said, "Baby, would you iron this shirt?" She said, "Absolutely." And it came back, and I mean, it was in perfect condition. I mean, perfect condition. Well, that worked. I said, middle of the day, I'm hungry. I said, "Baby, would you fix me something to eat?" She said, "Absolutely." And she stopped what she was doing. She went and she fixed me something to eat. And I sat down and I enjoyed that meal. And I thought to myself, wow, I have really married a jewel. One thing about my wife is she likes to go to bed as early as possible. About 9:30, 10 o'clock, she has already gone into happy, happy land. And I'm more of a night owl. And I find myself having disturbing cravings late in the evening. And I remember sitting in that house in Texas about 11:30, getting closer to midnight, and that stomach was starting to growl and really just let me know I need something in there. And I thought to myself, we ain't got nothing that's real easy to fix. And then it came to mind what my wife had said about if you need anything. And I looked over on that side of the bed and she was in happy, happy land. And I thought, well, I'm not real sure. But she did say. And so I reached my hand out and just as gently as I could, I tap her on the shoulder and she sits up and she wipes all of the sleep out of her eyes and she says, "What is it, baby?" And I said, "I know you're resting, but you remember what you said? Would you fix me something to eat?" And she said, "Well, absolutely." And she got out of bed and she went as cold and shivering, walking through that house. She goes into the kitchen. She prepares me something to eat. She comes back, sets it on the nightstand. She reaches over, kisses my forehead, goes back around the bed, crawls in, and is in a sleep within about 60 seconds. And I'm sitting there eating whatever it was. I can't remember, thinking to myself, I did good. So, night two comes around. Same craving, same hunger. And I do the same. It worked on night one. So I tried on night two, and sure enough, the same result. She got up, went through the house, the whole thing, kissed me on my forehead, got back in bed, and went right back to sleep. And I thought again, my God, I have done good. Well, the day came that she worked at a daycare at that time. The day came when those 10 two-year-olds that she babysat for 10-hour shifts had got a little much. This one had bit her finger. This one had stepped on her toe. This one had pulled her hair. This one had kicked her leg. And she comes home, and in me being newly married, I didn't understand everything. I was in one end of the house, and I heard the door slam on the other end of the house, and I thought, she's home. She's come to see me. And so I got up, and I went to greet her, and not really picking up that she hadn't had the best of day, I gave her a big hug and a big kiss and said, I love you, baby. And it seemed to have helped a little bit. And we went through the night and through the day. And I noticed she was a little bit quiet, but I didn't understand fully what was going on and how the day had been. And we moved through that evening, and we get ready to go to bed. And she kisses me goodnight and says, I'm going to sleep. And I said, okay. And she goes to sleep, and she's been asleep for a couple hours. And that crazy inside my stomach starts hitting me again, and it had worked so effectively the last few times. I thought, you know, maybe it'll work again tonight. So I reached my hand over, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, baby, would you? And before I could get any further, she sat up in that bed. She looked me eyeball to eyeball and said, boy, get up and get it yourself. I'd like to preach to you today with the help of the Holy Ghost. Get up and get it yourself. Can't nobody get it for you. I wish I could tell you God would bring it in on a silver platter, but it probably ain't gonna happen. It probably ain't gonna come like you want. But if you'll choose to get up, if you'll choose to activate your faith, if you'll choose to arise within your spirit and claim, that's my promise, that's my breakthrough, that's my answer, I believe your miracle's in the house. Come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord across the house today. Get up and get it yourself. Turn around, look at somebody. Tell them, get up and get it yourself. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 9 says, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold our God. Please note, before you can ever see the glory of God, you have first got to get up from your dilemma. Before that you're ever going to tap into His full potential and His full power, you have first got to arise above what is hindering you and what is stopping you, what is trying to bind you, the problems of yesterday, the heartache of way back when, all of the old sins that you've tried to bury under the blood, but it seems like the devil keeps bringing them up. There's somewhere along the line you got to get up above everything and say, I'm going to collect my promise. I'm going to collect my breakthrough. I'm going to get what God has for me. But before you can fully obtain it, you first got to get up. Guess what? Before you go to work, you first got to get up. You can't just let somebody push your bed into work. You can't even get dressed while you stay in bed. You have no way of getting to your vehicle as long as you're in bed. There's no value in simply staying in bed. If you want the day to be profitable, you have first got to get out of bed and get on your feet.
If you want to see what the day holds, you have first got to get out of bed and get on your feet before that we can truly see what God has for us within a service. We have first got to get up and get out of ourselves and step into the presence of God, believing that His power is still for me, that there's still a breakthrough, that there's still an answer. But it doesn't happen when I stay in bed. It doesn't happen when I stay in my comfort zone. I've got to step out of who I am and step into His power. Get up and get it yourself. Sometimes God does bring that to us, and I'm thankful for those times. But if I wait on those times, I may be waiting a long, long time. I love those services where it just happens, boom, it's there. But not every service is like that. There's got to be somebody within the assembly. There's got to be someone within the ministerial team that will say, you know what, I've had a bad day, I've had a bad week, I may have had even a bad existence, but I feel like my breakthrough is in the house. I feel like my blessing is in the house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get up and I'm going to move by faith, because it could be in one more hallelujah. Hallelujah. It could be in one more hand clap. It could be in one more shout. It could be in one more dance. It could be in one more footstep. But I believe that it's there. But it don't happen because I'm here. It happens because I get up and go get it. Come on, let's clap our hands unto the Lord here today. I don't have time to read it, but we know the story. Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside. The Bible says that he cries out. First, he recognized he had to overcome himself. That's the first thing that he does. He overcomes his desires, his flesh, the influence of his own past. And he cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Now the Bible says that the people rise up and they look and they view and they start telling him to be silent, to be still, to be muzzled, to be quiet. Now, he thought it was hard enough to overcome himself. Now the second step is overcoming people. Because there will always be somebody that wants to bind your praise. There will always be someone that wants to stop you from stepping into your breakthrough. It's not simply the person, but it's the thing that's driving them. It's the adversary that does not truly want you to be blessed or truly for you to have your breakthrough and your experience in God. So what he will do is he will allow you to overcome yourself. But one thing he tries to hinder and tries to stop you from doing is overcoming people. But can I tell you, if you can overcome yourself and if you can overcome people that are within the house, you can leave with your answer, you can leave with your breakthrough, you can leave with your blessing. But you gotta overcome yourself, and you gotta overcome those that aren't worshiping, that aren't responding, that aren't praising God. And I've seen churches come alive where there's 99.9% of individuals worshiping. And then I've seen that small percentage of one small percent of individuals that are up on their feet and they're praising God. Can I tell you what that is doing? It's easy to praise God when everybody's doing it. But it's not easy to praise God when you're all by yourself, literally standing in the midst of 100 or 150 or 200 or 1,000, whatever the case is. You're standing in the midst of them and you're the only one on your feet. Can I tell you, in reality, that's how the presence of God comes. It doesn't come simply because we show up. It comes because we get here and we get up in the spirit and we start reaching out for things. We start grasping on the things. We say, I'm not going to be hindered by yesterday. I'm going to step in today. Turn around, look at somebody, tell them, get up and get it yourself. Please note here, Bartimaeus gets up. We know this story. He cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David. Everybody turns around, looks at him, says, be silent, be still, be quiet, shut your mouth. Don't you recognize who you are? You're a blind man. That's all you've ever been. That's all you're ever going to be. Your closet is a representation of a blind man. Now, when you do some studying, you find out that the garments that he had upon his body were the garments of a blind man. Everything you got in your closet represents who you are. But you find out what's that Jesus calls for him. The very first thing that he does is he stands up on his feet and he takes off his cloak. He takes off that jacket of who he is and who the world has known him as. And that's all you are. When we saw him walking, we knew who he was by the garment that he had on his body. But before he ever even got to the feet of Jesus, he took off who the world had branded him as. And he said, no, that's who you thought I was, but that's not who I am. After that, I come in contact with Jesus. They may say you have this and you have that, but when we come into this house, there needs to be the taking off of the negativity. There needs to be taking off the names of yesterday. There needs to be the taking off of the past and step into his power. Just because he took off his garment did not automatically at that moment receive his miracle. He still had to get to Jesus. What would have happened? Oh, Bartimaeus, what's going to happen, son, if you got to go back to that jacket and pick it up? Let's look at it from that aspect. You moved by just such quick response. You got up and in the emotion of the moment, you jerked that cloak off, that jacket off, and you laid it down. You went to find Jesus, and maybe Jesus is not going to give you your miracle, and you got to turn back around, and you got to go back to that thing. And while everybody's sitting there laughing at you, and while everybody's sitting there looking at you and saying, you're crazy, you never should have taken that thing off. What you going to do now, Bartimaeus? Son, this is who you are. I tried to tell you. See, that's what that spirit does, is it tries to tell you your praise and your worship is of no effect. But I'm here to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning, your power of your praise and worship is of greater effect than you can even see with your own eyes. It's a more powerful effect than you can even imagine in your own existence. Why? Because it moves all of heaven when we praise and when we worship. I don't believe you understand that when you stand raising your hands and lifting your voice, God looks at our dilemma and he dispatches angels to come down and do the work. He dispatches angels of protection in our existence. You really don't understand the power of your praise, or nobody could shut you up. Saturday, nobody could shut you up. Your spouse couldn't shut you up. The pastor couldn't shut you up. Nobody could stop you because you knew the power of your praise. Come on, let's worship the Lord in the house today. Come on, somebody open up your mouth and give God praise. Turn around, look at somebody, tell them, get up. Get it yourself. For Bartimaeus, it was a getting up and a departing of the garment. I'm thankful to tell you he didn't have to go back to that garment and wear it another day because there was something in his spirit. Guess what? Once that you depart the garment, don't go back to the garment, even if you hadn't received the miracle as quickly as you would like to have received the miracle. Don't let the devil get you back in that garment, because you'll stop any potential of your miracle. I have seen men come through our assembly evangelizing and preaching for us, look at individuals in our church and tell them, your miracle is going to come. And they get up and they dance and they respond and they hoop and they holler. You know they got it, they got it, they got it. But by the time they leave, they're starting to wonder if they really had it. And by the time they get home, it seems like it's gone. And then they start saying, well, God can't do it. God's not going to do it. I know that man's a liar, so on and so forth. Can I tell you what happened? Somewhere between the altar and the back door, there was a connection of doubt that set in. And instead of feeding their faith, they fed their doubt. And so what they did is they killed the potential of your breakthrough. Can I tell you, sometimes God will give you a word and say he's going to heal your body, but it could be 2 years before he does it. It could be you're at the point of death before he allows his power to move over you and fully heal your body. We're not God, honey, but this much I can tell you, if he's given you a word, you don't give up on that word. You don't believe in that doubt, or you'll stop up the breakthrough. You'll stop up the blessing. If God's going to give me a word, I'm going to believe it with all my heart. my soul, with all my mind. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I'm preaching to you. Get up and get it yourself. I wish it was easy enough that he would just come in like the servants. Now, me and my wife had. Now, if y'all don't do this, don't take this against me, okay? Y'all are wondering what I'm gonna say now. I know. Me and my wife went on. Been married 6 years. Last February, decided to go on a cruise, and we went on a cruise. She says that I don't like to spend money. I just because I don't go to real expensive restaurants all the time. We don't ever go to expensive restaurants. We went on this cruise, and she said, "You know what I'm going to do?" It's the first honeymoon really that we had. We went, as soon as we got married, we went right into ministry, and we got married on Friday, and by Sunday we were working at the church. This is the first anniversary that we had experienced. We got on that ship and sat down in the room. Small rooms. Real small rooms. And I'm sitting on that bed. And she starts looking. And there's a menu on that pillow. And she said, "You know, the first thing I'm going to do." I said, "What's that, baby?" She said, "I'm going to get room service." I said, "Whoa. Hold on. She said, "It's free." Well, let's go ahead and order something. And I watched these people. They told you, you didn't even have to tip these people. I tipped them. But you didn't even have to tip these people because it was added into the cost of the cruise. And so we called. We got something brought to us. And they brought it on a silver platter. They walked in there. And I mean, they set it down. And it was beautiful. Every time you walked out of your room to sneeze, that dude was in there fixing the bed and folding some kind of animal and putting it on your bed. I mean, you walk down the hall and change your mind, he's already been there and gone. I'm completely confused by this. I told my wife, I said, we wasn't gone 5 minutes. But he brought in this stuff and he greeted us. And Pastor Causey, he set that silver platter down. And it wasn't just plastic plates, but it was these knives. They trusted us. It was these ones that could break. You could drop these things and crack them. You didn't have to pay a dime for it because it was already added in. Y'all need to try this unless your pastor preaches against it. But I remember sitting there thinking in that cruise, I'm getting treated a way that I have probably never been treated before. And it's very easy to get accustomed to that. That by the time I get off the boat, I go home and sit in my chair and I wait on that individual to come in and do the same thing they've been doing all week. I got used to that. I like that. It didn't cost me a dime once I paid it off. Can I tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, it's very easy for you and me to come in and experience good church. And we come in and it seems like God's presence isn't here like we want it to be here. And we're scratching our head and saying, it's the musicians. It's the singing. It's the preaching. No, somewhere along the line, we didn't get connected. We didn't get plugged up because we're waiting on the waiter to walk in and give us what he's got. Sometimes God don't do that. He says, get up and go get it yourself. Get up and go get what I've already got. I hope this is all right on Sunday morning. Get up. Get up and go get it yourself. Come on, lift your hands unto the Lord all across the house. Come on, somebody open up your mouth and talk to him right now. Come on, just a few more short seconds here. Would you do it? God, thank you for your spirit that's in this house right now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you glory. We give you honor today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Sister, you got Acts I believe it's 12, if memory serves me correct. Brother Lee, grab that bag and come help me if you would. We find in our reading, the Bible says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Next verse. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Continue. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him into four quarantines of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of God, the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night Peter was sleeping, the Bible says, between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Next verse. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Now, we're going to stop right there. Please note what happens. The Bible says that this angel shows up, and he doesn't have a lot of mercy on Peter. He just simply kicks him, hits him on the side, and says, get up! I ain't going to do everything for you. Now I've come. God has sent me here. But I won't do everything. First thing you got to do before you get out of here, before you walk out of your dilemma, first thing you got to do is stand up. First thing you got to do is get up. I'm not going to reach down and forcibly make you get up and jerk you out of your seat and shake all this stuff off of you. If you're going to see this and if you're going to experience this, the first thing you got to do is, somebody say it. That's pretty good. Open that bag up. Help me. Now what you're going to do is you're going to help me, okay? Now you hold one end. Thank you very much. You're going to hold one. You got a good hold on it. Okay, don't hold good. Use both hands. There we go. Now, we'll just act out here for a moment that I'm bound by this. I know I'm not. I'm just holding it, okay? We're going to act for a moment. This is what happens a lot of times. We come to the house of God, and we feel that we're still bound with things. So we don't respond to God because we're bound by things. We don't worship God because we're hindered by things. We don't praise God like we should praise God because there are chains that we feel that still have impressions in our lives. But this angel shows up and he doesn't loose his chains and tell him, get up and you're free to run and shout and hoot and holler. The first thing this angel does is he shows up and he tells him to get up. Can I tell you in all honesty on Sunday morning that before you ever get loose from your chains, it will never happen unless you first make a faith response to God that says, I do realize that I am still bound. I do realize that I'm still in captivity. It hasn't changed the scenario. I am still bound. There's an angel here, but I'm still bound. There's an angel here, but I'm still covered up in chains. There's an angel here, but the adversary's still here. They're still on both sides. I haven't been freed yet. If we try to figure out everything God is doing, you'll never get delivered. You'll never get set free. The first thing that's got to happen is you got to get up. Angel says, arise up quickly. Now, there is a period. I saw that this morning. I thought that was pretty good. If you would imagine reading between the line, it says, arise up. This is what the angel says. Arise up quickly. Period. All right, we're going to take a pause break right here. Read between the lines. We're waiting on response. Now you ask me, I don't believe his chains fell off until he physically got on his feet. Read with me between the lines. Give me a little bit of room here to work. arise up quickly. And the Bible says, and his chains fell off from his hands. I don't believe the moment that the angel said, arise up quickly, that the chains fell. I believe there's a small delay. There's a little bit of lapse of time. And he is getting up on his feet. And by the time he has got up on his feet and started moving, the chains start falling off. Can I tell you, there are some times that getting on your feet is not simply enough. But you got to start moving by faith. You've got to start pulling on that chain. You got to start saying, I'm not going to be bound by this thing forever. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Since you're giving me a little bit of room to work, let me take it a step further. You got a good hold on that thing? All right. If you're asking me, if your pastor preaches it somewhere else, Brother Williams is completely wrong. I'm just the evangelist. But you hear me. I do believe there is a time and a purpose and a plan. For some of us, when the angel says, arise up quickly, we jump up and instantly the chains fall off. There's some of us, we sit there and kind of ponder and we kind of wonder, are the chains ever going to fall off? There's some of us, we get up and we start moving, but we still starting to feel that chain. We start moving, but we still feel the pull of that chain. Oh, come on, angel. I know you're in front of me. The presence of God has showed up, but there's still a little bit of hindrance. There's still a little bit of resistance. There's still a little bit of pull, but the day will come. The day will come when you start pressing against that thing, that it starts caving in, that it starts moving, and before you know it, it's done broke, and you're free. But it don't happen just because you're there. It don't happen just always because you get up. But there's got to be that I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it myself. I'm up on my feet. And I'm going to get what God has. Come on, stand to your feet all across the house today. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. As the musicians come, lift your hands unto the Lord all across the house. In the name of Jesus, come on, lift your voice, lift your heart, lift your spirit unto the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we've come to magnify you on Sunday morning. We've come to praise you. We've come to worship you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Is Sister Lee in here this morning? She's next door teaching. You remind me tonight. Can you remind me? Good. Throw both your hands up. Both hands. Can you drop to your knees? You do that? There's a strong anointing on you, sir. It has not even truly been to its full potential of birth. What do you mean, Brother Williams? I mean, there is an anointing that you've tapped into that God has placed upon you and in your life. But it's not a completion. It is not that you have fully tapped into all of the anointing. There are levels and there are degrees of your anointing. And as you walk through this place, you will tap into stronger degrees of this anointing. Pastor Causey, would you come lay your hands on him right now? God is going to open his mind. The Word of God is going to begin to fall into his spirit, into his heart like... Come on, church, help me pray right now. In the name of Jesus, God, from the bottom of his feet, let it begin to burn. God, God, let the anointing, God, begin to let it move up his body today. Let it move all the way to his mind today. Let your spirit, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, Brother Lee, get up on your feet and give God praise for it right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Y'all keep playing like that. I was going to wish I could sing. Y'all don't want me to sing. Come here, darling. Yes, ma'am. Step down, if you would, on the floor. Standing over there this morning, the Lord showed me. I saw your feet. Sister Williams, come help me. I saw your feet. and I saw your ankles, and you were literally standing in mud. It doesn't make any sense to me. You were standing in mud, and it covered to right there. And the Lord said to tell you, it's not as deep as it seems to be. It's not as hard to step out of as you think it is. My God, if you'll pick your foot up, now I'm not talking physically, spiritually. If you'll pick your foot up and just step, you'll find that the next step is not as low as where you're standing. And you're going to move out of what the devil is trying to put you into. He's trying to mess your feet up. Thing is, he's wanting you to move backwards, not forwards. He's wanting you to move backwards before this part of the leg's covered up. Before this part of the leg's covered up. And before you know it, you're so far out in the mud that there is no going back. Can I tell you right now, today on Sunday morning, you are close enough that you can still step out of it. In Jesus' name. Come on, darling, throw both your hands up. Come on, darling, get your hands up. In the name of Jesus. Come on, darling, yes. In Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody give him worship. I may be in a jail cell, but I still got a song. I still got a praise. I still got a shout. I've still got victory in my spirit. One final reading, and I'm going to open these altars. Exodus the 14th chapter, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Please note, not only did God deliver his people out of Egypt, he also delivered them from the influence by allowing what delivered his people to destroy the adversary. The same thing that brought them out destroyed the adversary. Can I tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, the reason he hates your praise,
oh my God,
is because your praise can bring you out, but it can also destroy the influence of that boy. Why we having dead church across America? Because we're losing our praise. We're being entertained on the outside of these four walls. We want to be fed. We want to be entertained. And we come in here and we got to work for it. We come in here and we got to make it happen. But if you want deliverance, you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to walk and go claim your promise. He said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Please note, the people are crying. They're afraid they're going to die in their dilemma. They are emotional about the adversary coming behind them. Why are they crying to me? Speak unto the children of Israel. You tell the people. What does he say? Tell them that they go forward. You must tell them to start walking. Hey, the water hadn't parted yet. You tell them to walk. They hadn't seen a miracle yet. You tell them to walk. You tell them to get ready and start moving toward their deliverance. Before you're ever delivered, you gotta move toward your deliverance. My God, I don't know who you are on Sunday morning, but if I was you and I'd been bound as long as you had been, I'd hit that aisle and I'd have a praise. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'd have a praise that if I had to pull it from my toenails, I'd reach down on the inside of me and I'd start pulling out a praise. It may not be pretty. It may not look dignified. But I'd reach down as far as I could and I'd start pulling it out. Because if I'm going to get my breakthrough, I first got to get up and go get it myself. If you need it, step out in the aisle right now and start responding. If you need it, get up and go get it yourself. I'm getting up. Ain't nobody gonna make me get up. I'm gonna get up because I want to get up. I'm gonna get up because God is telling me to get up. The devil's not going to keep me in my chains. The devil's not going to keep me in my bondage. I'm getting up and I'm going to get my breakthrough. I'm getting up and I'm going to get my answer. Come on, go ahead and let him shake your foundation.
The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy. Tonight we gonna run to shake the foundation with praise. Glory, hallelujah. This is what we've come to do. Tear down strongholds, break chains.
If you're still praying, please continue to pray. If you're not, listen to me for just a moment. I want you to get with somebody, men with men, ladies with ladies. Let's make it in twos if you can do that. Two individuals, not a whole big group, but two individuals. Find you somebody. Take them by the hand. Look at them. I don't care who is who. Somebody's Paul, somebody's Silas. Look at them, say, you're Paul, I'm Silas. Whatever the case is. We may be in captivity right now, but we're going to praise together. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. We're going to sing together. Come on, you're being delivered right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing with them. Go ahead and worship with them. Go ahead and praise with them.